Christians, we believe we can be raised from the dead. We sing to raise our souls. Thank you, choir. Thank you, thank you, thank you. From Jeremiah, the first chapter, comes the calling of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send, to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I have appointed you over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And from the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter, we continue the story of Jesus going back to his hometown, where he's picked up the scroll and preached to his own people. And he said to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Then they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, and when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land, yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to the widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up and drove Jesus out of town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on his way. And then from 1 Corinthians today, the 13th chapter, comes the familiar love text. "If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest is love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we're talking about love today. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up. I hope you get flowers or candy or whatever that is. Or at least, gentlemen, that you remember to run to the marathon station and pick up some Dove bars on the way home. Whatever it takes. Alan, Dove bars on the way home, buddy. Don't forget. But it reminds me of the story of my parents. My parents were beautiful. They were married 51 years before my stepmother died. And their marriage progressed from being very traditional, where mom had the dinner on the table at 5 o'clock every day when he came home and did all the cooking and cleaning and everything, to a time where they shared chores, to a time where by the time it was toward the end of her life, he was cooking and cleaning and doing all the chores, and she sat and did whatever she wanted to do. But one Valentine's Day, he came home with a big, beautiful card. He must have spent $10 at Hallmark on this card. It was gorgeous. And he sets it up, put it in an envelope, nothing, set it up on the kitchen cabinet, right where she could see it. And she took it like this. I never forget this. I was in the room. She walks in and she picks it up like this and she looks at it and she flung it at him like this. And she was mad. They didn't speak for like 3 days. She was so mad. And finally, I'm back in the room when they're having the conversation about this. And he says, I went out on Valentine's Day special. You know, the men, if he stops at Casey's on the way home and gets you some Dove bars, be appreciative because he's made the effort, right? Dad made the effort, right? Made the effort. He was doing good. Got this nice card, and he says, what is wrong with this card? You haven't talked to me for days. What'd I do? She said, read the card. Read the front of the card. And he picks it up, and he goes, for my wife on Valentine's Day. And he said, what's wrong with that? And she says, read it again. And he picked it up, and he went, from my wife on Valentine's Day. Yeah, sometimes you make the effort, it just doesn't, play out. But he had tried. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Valentine's Day. It's coming up. We see hearts and red and beautiful, and we think, oh, love. Remember the first time you were in love? Who's laughing over there, the first time you were in love? Not the many times you were in love, the first time you were in love, right? I was at a conference about relationships with my pastors just recently, and they were talking about, they've been married almost 30 years. And Pastor Tim said, I still remember in ninth grade at John Marshall High School, walking in and seeing this beautiful blonde standing over a Bunsen burner. And every once in a while, when things get tough for us, I go back to that time. Yeah, aw. Because we think sometimes that's what love is, that, flutter in your heart. I have a 15-year-old friend who is in love for the first time, and she said to me the other day, I just looked across the room at Mason, and my heart just went... And we think that's what love is, that... Right? Sometimes. But this text from Corinthians is not about the fluffy, superficial, fading kind of love. This text from 1 Corinthians, this is serious stuff. Paul in 1 Corinthians is talking to a church where people can't even sit in the same room together. They're so divided. They're so upset with each other. They're so cantankerous and contentious. The fighting is real and ugly. And he says to them, what you need is love. not some fluttery, superficial feeling. Love is a verb, but some real kind of action that will bind people together, that will make a difference in the way we are with one another. And he's saying, this is not a thing to play with. If you are messing around with this, you're just like a gong ringing that nobody's going to pay attention to. But love, he says, is patient, kind, not envious, boastful, arrogant, does not insist on its own way. Some translations of this say, love does not make lists. You know what that is? Somebody does wrong to you and you go, when I was in the fifth grade, you stole my lunch money. And when I was in the seventh grade, you didn't bring me flowers when we went to homecoming dance. And when I was in the ninth grade, and you know people like this? You go like this, and sometimes in our relationships we do that. You didn't do the dishes today. You didn't take out the trash yesterday. You didn't make the bed the day before. I don't have clean underwear because you haven't done laundry for a month. Love does not make lists. It is serious and action. It takes effort on our parts. It's work to love. It's not just a fluttery feeling that fades. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. You know what that is, too. That person you've made lists for or is making lists for you, when he comes to you on the 29th day and says, I don't have any underwear left because you haven't done laundry, and then goes through the list of all the things you don't do, and you kind of go, you don't have any underwear to wear. See, but you're laughing because you've all done that. But love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. And I saw the look on some of your faces. You know what I'm talking about. That takes real effort sometimes. It's not just a fleeting feeling. It's something that we have to deeply engage in, to be serious about. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That is hard work. And we can do that. Paul is saying, you, community of faith, you can live in love with one another. And when you do, it will change the world. See, that's the thing about love. That little pitter-patter you feel in your heart from your first crush, that ain't going to change nothing except maybe what you get for Valentine's Day. But when we engage in the real action of love, it can bind a contentious people together. It can change the way we look at the world, and it can change the world. We didn't talk much about Martin Luther King on Martin Luther King Day, for one thing, because there was snow everywhere and there weren't very many people here, but secondly, because I knew this was coming. And Martin Luther King, more than anyone, understood that love could change the world. The whole theory behind nonviolent resistance was, if we just love enough, we can overcome hate. King said, violence merely increases hate. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Love is powerful enough to drive out hate
from our world.
Think about that for a minute. What a force that is. Keith, we got that video ready? Okay. We're going to see here in a minute, a video for King and Country. If y'all want to go with us to see For King and Country, they're coming to the Capitol the end of March. We'll take you with us. They put on an amazing theatrical kind of show, this contemporary Christian group. This video is a little bit dark, and it's intended to be, because it is showing us that love can overcome hate. It's one of these post-apocalyptic things, which is, I understand, the literature and medium of a new generation. Librarians in middle schools tell me they can't pass off any books to kids anymore that don't have some post-apocalyptic theme to them. And you'll see this. It is intended to show the prison of people living without love. And the moment that happens here, where you'll hear the 1 Corinthians text paraphrased in a really interesting way, is the love coming through this place of darkness and ultimately breaking through to the light. Friends, remember that love is powerful enough to change the world. Light can overcome darkness. Love can overcome hate. Amen.